The chair of the Kitsuit Water Commission. With me tonight is Commissioner Tom Hoppenstadt to my left and Commissioner Scott Horsley to my far left. We also have Jen Nash from the staff. Raise your hand, Jen. And Superintendent of the Water Department, Christopher Wiseman. He's going to record, so we'll wait for a second. Are we recording yet?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So this is a regular scheduled meeting of the Water Commissioners of the Kitsuit Fire District. We have some preliminary business, and then we will ask for public comment, followed by Superintendent's report and other business of the Commission. I had asked the staff to prepare documents that are over on the table. If anybody has not picked them up, you're welcome to do so at this time. We have a couple of small slideshows that we'd like to present when we get into the public comment period. So we always start with review and approval of our previous minutes, and those have been handed out to the commissioners. Have you had a you guys haven't had a chance to read them, maybe?
No, I have not.
All right.
I would move we can
postpone that. Okay. And Chris, you have some warrants for us to sign.
I just have one. It's just the payroll. You guys already did the other email.
As required by the enabling legislation of the Kitsuit Fire District, the Board of Water Commissioners are required to review and approve all expenses of the department, and we do that on a weekly basis. Right, John? So I would ask the superintendent to give us a quick update on the water quality over the past month.
All samples tests have come back negative. We have not done our VOCs because we took one of our stations down. Station 4 right now is down. So we're just holding off of that to do. It's our quarterly VOCs sampling, but all monthly bacteria samples have come back clean and free.
And clean?
Yes.
Good. And we should point out that the Water Department has issued its annual drinking water quality report. This is mailed to all ratepayers with the bill, and it has the test results from the monitoring of the wells over the past year, as well as explanations of what these numbers mean, and various tips that homeowners can use to help us preserve the water quality. So, Jen, this went out. It's going out. Going out with the March bills. Great. And these are available at the office if anybody would like more copies. Looks like a nice job, John. Thank you.
Have we heard anything from the state on the PFAS?
I have not heard anything from Mr. Hobel. Last I heard was mid-February I would hear from him, and he was thinking that might be the time, but I think because of the influx of everybody calling him, it might actually just take a little longer, but it is expected to be done. According to him last month, by the end of the month, he's hoping to get at least a good solid plan in action and go from there.
So this is in reference to the emerging water quality potential contaminant known as PFOS, PFOA, and it's generated through the breakdown of plastics in the environment. Has been tested in Mashpee and Hyannis as being present in the water supply there and requiring some kind of treatment. So we're anxious to get the state DEP, to provide us with some initial monitoring. We have not had any monitoring of that particular potential contaminant as yet. It's such a new issue in the field that the state is scrambling to catch up with the various water supplies. But we have had an indication that state DEP would provide us with a free set of tests of our wells, so we're trying to keep that on track sometime this year. Okay, thank you all for coming. We will have public comment. I would like to just set the stage a little bit. I know some people are here tonight to express concern about the increase in the water bills, and it's a perfectly legitimate concern. We've prepared some information here for you about the process and the impacts of these rate changes. I would say in preface that this is a process that's been going on for several years. The first thing we did was to conduct a study of the cost of services. What is the true cost of the water department operations to supply drinking water to the ratepayers and the public in Kituit, in the district, and also analyze the distinction between the amount of money needed to provide that drinking water supply versus the amount of money necessary to subsidize the fire protection aspect, which is the second reason that we have a piped water supply system here in Kituit to provide fire protection for us. So that was done by our consultant, Tata and Howard. Those results were delivered over the past year. We conducted a series of public meetings. We tried to get the word out as best we could. And as you'll see, you try the best you can to get the information out. There's no perfect solution. Like, we can't transmit information into people's individual brains. We have to try it passively through social media. We have to do it actively through mailings. But we're trying to be as responsive as possible for people's questions and concerns. This slide up here, I think, is the big takeaway. And that on the next one. Do we have a clicker? Are you going to click for me? Commissioner Horsley is an experienced clicker.
It may go upside down.
So let's go back for 1 second, Scott, to the pie chart. So the whole point was that the DEP, as well as the Prudential Committee of the Kituit Fire District, has been concerned that the Water Department needed to be more self-funding. And what that means is have the water pay for the operation of delivering the water as opposed to a heavy subsidy through the district tax. So when you get your property tax bill from the town of Barnstable, it has what you owe to the town of Barnstable to support the schools and the police and all the other things the town provides, but it also has a special little section, the fire district tax. That's the tax that you pay through Kituit Fire District to support fire and water. And for many years, as you can see in the yellow over on the left, that tax has been subsidizing this department almost two-thirds of the cost. The excess water is really where we have looked to have the water department be more self-funding. So you'll see with the rates that were adopted last year, the light blue shape of the pie has increased considerably to account for the water that is used primarily, we think, for irrigation purposes, and to have that extra water that people are using above and beyond their normal household needs to pay for more of the department operations. Now, as you can see, the logic is that if we are a zero-sum game without increasing the overall pie, it stands to reason that, next one, Scott, as the water rates go up, the district tax should go down. All things being equal, the district has other needs as well, other fire protection needs or buildings or additional staff. All of those items are voted on by the district voters at the annual meeting in May. The water commissioners set the water rates. We did that through a very transparent public process over the past couple of years. The district voters, people in this room, come to the district meeting in May, review the budget recommended by the Prudential Committee, the Finance Committee of the district, and the voters vote in the budget for the district. So it stands to reason that there's going to be more revenue coming in through the water department. hopefully that will offset the taxes that we all pay on our houses. Okay, so that's the logic behind the whole thing. This is just to show the the report that was done. We have copies up here. They're on the website. Next, Scott. And as you can see, we have five wells. The map over here on the wall, those red circles, are the five public water supply wells. You see three of them in the middle. That's the main well field between Putnam Ave and Main Street and south of the Catuit Commons. And then we have one well out on Route 28 against the Mashpee line, and then the old well down in the village behind the coop. So all of those wells are pumping on a regular basis to provide the water supply for Catuit. And we have two fairly new water tanks, one by the old school, one out on Route 28. Next, Scott. We have a population that varies between the summer and the winter. We pump over 207 million gallons a year. That's a lot of water. In a hot summer day, we might approach 2 million gallons for one day. We have one water user here, a ratepayer, Jen, correct me, who uses over 1 million gallons a year. Is that correct? So there's one household that is using more than 1 million gallons of water a year. So some of the ways that we try to get this information out is this little card, a rate card that was mailed out with one of the bills last spring. And on it we had all the various ways that we're trying to get information out about these new rates that were coming forward before they had been voted on yet. And you can see a series of public hearings. We even filmed one. It's on our website. It's deadly. You can watch it if you'd like. I tried.
It was great.
Really hard.
It was really good.
But we had a, and then we had reported at the Civic Association meeting, which is usually pretty well attended here in this room, which is very advertised through a mailing to everybody in the village. And then we've also communicated through the annual meeting. So that was the process that led up to our vote to establish the new rates. Next. In addition, there was a mailer. There's copies over there that went everybody get when they got their water bill. I get bills every day just like the rest of you. I look for the bottom line, how much do I owe, and I throw away most of the stuff because it's promotional stuff. This isn't promotional stuff. This was intended to get information out. Some people read it, most people don't. But we've tried to organize and collect all the information and put it on the website so we had a central source for people to go to. You have to know it's there by us advertising that it's there, but that information has been up there for the past year. So I just looked at one household here in Catuit to see what was the effect of the increase in the rates. Now this is a very small user, rate-paying household. In fact, it was declining. Why? Because my kids went off to college. That's one of the reasons. But you can see in the various years before the rate change, the Catuit Water Department was basically giving me money, giving me water for free. Thank you very much, Chris. You did a great job. We have drastically affected the rates. Guess what? My household is still paying less than a half a cent for a gallon of water. Find out how much water you can buy at the Stop and Shop for a half a cent. About $13 a month is what I'm paying now for water. I don't have an irrigation system. Next. My most recent electric bill for 1 month. Does it look familiar to most of you, electric bill? Next. So that's the way that we've tried to get this information out. It's caused a lot of pain to people because what happened is they got their bill the excess use for the past 6 months, and it was sticker shock, and we knew it would be. I knew it would be. I've spent almost two years on this commission making people aware that these increases were coming, and trying to do the best job we could to get the information out. Did we succeed or fail? It's in the eye of the beholder. I can tell you that the staff is the focal point for receiving complaints. They should not be directed at the staff. They should be directed at the commissioners. The commissioners set the water rates. This guy and this guy. This guy hadn't been on the commission yet, so he's off the hook. We have some other people who are on the hook. They're in the audience. But in any case, I believed that this was required and necessary for several reasons, mostly to comply with the DEP regulations and guidances that said water departments should be more self-funding and not subsidized by other sources, because other sources can come and go. Make it more self-funding. We have instituted graduated price increases. By graduated, I mean if you use a little bit extra than the regular household, and we give away basically 20,000 gallons a year. Correct me on my math. And after that, you pay a little bit more per gallon. And if you go above that amount, you pay a higher rate. And if you go above that, you pay a higher rate. So we are trying to modify water use by making you pay a lot more for a lot more water. You're still paying the same basic rate as everybody else for household use. But if you're a heavy water user, you're irrigating during rainstorms, whatever, that's the water that is really getting sucked with these new rates, in my opinion. Do you agree?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. And you're going to have a chance to comment, because you've been more involved in this than I have. At the end of of my presentation, I'd like the commissioners to speak to you. Commissioner Horsley has some good ideas for people who really want to keep irrigating and want to avoid these high graduated rate increases. So I'm going to stop and let Commissioner Hoppenstadt give us a little insight.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming. I've been active in the rate study since its inception, and as Mark eloquently stated, you know, it was something that the state wanted us to do. It was something that we believed was the right thing to do, which was to obtain enough revenue to support our water department for the services that we provide, and that's what we've done. We think we've hit the mark pretty close. We might be a little high, we might be a little low, and the state does recommend that we reevaluate every 5 years, and we will be doing that. The last time that your rates were increased was 2005, so we missed the mark for 15 years, and now it's a little more painful, but I think we're in good shape. I'm anxious to hear your comments and, you know, to move forward on rates that may or may not be in need of further adjustment. And like I said, but within 5 years, the commission will be looking at those again.
So I started to say that the staff is the place where complaints go, because they have a brick building on Route 28, and you know where to find him, and he's driving around town in his truck all the time, and people know what he looks like. Jen has done a terrific job fielding the calls, and I know, because I've sat and watched her do it, she is the ultimate professional. She understands people's concerns. She's happy to explain things, and I think she's done a terrific job. I really appreciate both her and Chris in responding to it. Tom and Scott and I are out doing our business during 9 to 5, and we're not sitting around waiting for complaints, but I would like people to come to me directly and let me know that you have a personal concern. Jen can do the math for you, and you know, we're a small village. We can handle individual tests or analyses of things that might have gone wrong with your personal situation. Chris, is there anything you'd like to say just in general?
Well, I was just gonna, do you have an email address for the district too, so you can be reached by email if there are direct questions to you, when you say that.
Well, I have Jen's instructed to give people my email.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really. I don't think anybody's been super evil to us. I think they all understand quite a bit. I don't see her in the audience, so I can say I did get a raspberry at the post office from a woman telling me I was raising her taxes, but that was about as bad as it got. Nobody swung or anything like that. So I appreciate everybody's patience with us and everything else. And I do thank Jen also because she stopped a lot of the calls before they got, she only at the last moment gave me the one she couldn't handle.
Do you want to say anything, Jen? No. Okay. Well, Commissioner Horsley has some interesting information, both environmental and economic, so I thought you might be interested. I'm going to click for him.
Yeah, you should be on. If you can pick it up if you want. Yeah, just keep it close so we can hear.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I just got a few slides I'd like to run through because I think there's a relationship between how much water we're pumping overall and cost. And we've, other thing I wanted to throw out here is we've also recently received a cost and treatment report from the same engineering firm that did the cost study, and they're suggesting that there may be some significant additional costs coming in the future, which will argue to raise the rates even higher. But again, I believe this is largely related to how we manage the system and how much water we pump. And I'd like to just walk through a few slides to try to explain. This slide shows three wells in the main well field. And I guess I'll, I don't know, can I hold this and get
yeah,
up there?
Yeah,
you
can pull it up.
So the three wells are right here, as I think you can see, and there's a blue line that kind of runs all the way around. And that is what the state calls a Zone 2 wellhead protection area. That's where the water comes from that gets into the wells. I also draw your attention to just to the right-hand side here, and I can almost, is there a pointer there? Oh, great, there is.
Which one do I hit?
Middle one.
Middle.
Okay. Right here is the little river that flows down from Lovell's Pond all the way off the slide to Kituit Bay, and you can see it flows by the well field. There's also some wetlands associated with the river right here. Next slide. And with a pumping well, as I say, it pulls the water, the groundwater, from the surrounding area into the well. This is a conceptual picture showing what that is. Again, EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and Mass Department of Environmental Protection call these areas wellhead protection areas. Next slide. Going back to that same area, again, here's the little river. What's happening is these wells, these three wells, are pulling water, like the arrows show, from around the wells. And you can see over here, under maximum pumping rates during the summer, every indication is that water is not only being pulled from the groundwater, but it's also pulled from the river and the wetlands. And there's a few important considerations with that, one of which I will argue could be a significant future cost to the water district if we don't pay more attention to this. Next slide. This is a couple of slides of the Little River, or where the Little River is supposed to be. Little River is a perennial stream. That means it's supposed to have water in it year-round naturally. But as you can see here, Commissioner Robinson took these pictures. This is somebody walking right up and down the river, and this, as it flows underneath the road here, the river goes dry in the middle of the summer. And the reason for that is not because it gets hot. It's not because it doesn't rain. It's because we're pumping the groundwater around there and drawing the river down. So this is causing, you don't have to be a fisheries biologist to know that that condition is going to have some pretty severe conditions on the aquatic habitat. Fisheries and other critters that live in the river are severely impacted by it. So that's point number one. As we pump the groundwater and draw down that river, we're causing ecological impacts on the river. Next slide. This picture shows a little bit of what happens. Here's the well. This is the groundwater flowing to the well. And over here we have a stream or the little river. What's happening under the summer maximum pumping conditions is we're actually pulling water from the river through the groundwater to the well. And I put this little symbol manganese in here because, as I mentioned, we recently had this report given to us that we're currently reviewing to suggest we have manganese showing up in our water supply now. Some of you may be aware of that because it can cause some staining in laundry facilities, etc. very likely that manganese is coming from wetland deposits and stream deposits along the river. So the second effect of pumping these wells at high capacity near the river is we're drawing manganese, and according to the report we have, and I think I have a picture of it in here, next slide, are coming up. There's an estimated about a $10 million treatment plant cost to deal with iron and manganese if in fact we decide to do that. Now the interesting thing is approximately half of the pumping during the summer months is coming from irrigation. We don't see that in the winter, but in the summer months about 50% of the overall pumping, the peak pumping, comes from irrigation. And I'll just mention as a slide, our job here is to manage a public drinking water supply. And what we're actually doing is managing a public drinking water supply that's being used for drinking and other purposes. And about half of that is estimated to be lawn irrigation. Next slide. We do see that some irrigation systems are better than others in terms of their efficiency and conservation factors. We do see some irrigation systems out there that do not have rain sensors. And one way to know that is you see them irrigating the lawns when it's raining out, which we all know is probably not a good idea. Next slide. So here's quickly three slides, and again, these are from the U.S. Geological Survey. The top slide shows the natural condition, groundwater flowing to the stream. That's why the stream flows year-round. It's a perennial stream because the groundwater keeps discharging into the stream all summer long. That's what should be happening. Next slide. Next slide, please. This is the condition, I showed you this slide earlier. The bottom slide is the well pumping, groundwater flowing to it, and water coming from the river. And in this case, so much water that it actually pulls the river all the way down. And next slide. This slide shows a lower pumping rate. We're still pulling groundwater to the well, but now we're not pulling water from the river. So one possible strategy here is pump less water during the peak summer. By doing that, we might be able to keep the water back in the river, which is an important ecological purpose. And secondly, we might be able to stop the movement of manganese and save ourselves up to $10 million of treatment costs in the future. Next slide. So one option, and this is what Mark had mentioned earlier, for those who want to irrigate their lawns, would be to consider an on-site irrigation well rather than using a public drinking water supply to irrigate your lawn. And there's a couple advantages to that. As I think you can already see, number one, it doesn't impact the Little River. Number two is we might be able to mitigate pulling manganese from the riverbed into the water supply and then spending a lot of money to treat it later. And there's a third benefit here. Some of you may have heard about the problem with our coastal waters on Cape Cod, Kituit Bay, North Bay. We have too much nitrogen in them. Algae starting to grow more and more. Oxygen levels are going down. There's some studies that suggest real estate values are starting to head down because of the lower water quality. That's caused by too much nitrogen getting into the bay. So if we place on-lot private wells for irrigation purposes, we might be able to recapture some of the nitrogen in the groundwater that is heading to the bay and pump that back onto the lawn. This nitrogen is the same nitrogen you go out and buy bags of fertilizer, but in this case it's free. It's in the groundwater. So there's the two advantages of doing on-lot private domestic wells are, again, we protect the Little River, we avoid some treatment costs perhaps in the future of the public drinking water supply, and we can mitigate some nitrogen pollution to our bays. So there's many benefits to considering going this option. Next slide. And I think this is my last slide. I did get a quote from one of the well drillers on Cape Cod, Desmond Well Drilling, who's done a lot of wells in this area, for the cost of putting in an on-site irrigation well. And this cost is about $3,700 to install an on-site well. The electric costs of running this are very low, on the order of $3 to $5 per month during the summer to pump the water. So the operational costs are very, very low. So for some people who are using a lot of water, and this relates back to our discussion tonight, because the people who are getting the big bills are probably the people irrigating their lawns. And so the reason what we're putting out here is there is an option if you still want to water your lawn with drinking water. And I keep saying that because I think that's a really important thing to think about. That's what we're doing. We're putting drinking water on our lawns. A Okay, and if you want to do that, one option is we pay a lot of money, and probably more money in the future because of the upcoming treatment, or we somehow reduce the demand on the public supply and replace that with private on-lot drinking water wells. So that's an option. And we just wanted to throw that out there and provide those costs, because if you amortize that cost over some period of time, you might find out this is not only a good environmental, ecological thing to do, but it might actually save you money in the long run. I think that's the last slide.
I just want to say a quick thing. Desmond Well Drilling, we're not pushing anything like that or anything. That there's other companies out there. He just did call that person for a quote to get an average price for that. So we're not saying call him. Check it out, please, beforehand. Check around, and don't worry about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Anything else, Tom? So I'm sorry it took us so long to get through that, but I did want you to understand there's some context to what's been going on. And I'd be happy to open the floor for public comment. Yes, sir, over here. We do ask you to use the mic, and if you please give us your name. Just we do have minutes that are fairly detailed, and we want to make sure we capture your comments.
So my name is John Mayer, and my question is, you have a budget here that says that 65% of the revenue is going to come from excess water. What if a third of the people that are now using sprinkler systems go to wells? How does that budget look at that point when all of your heavy users switch over to private wells? It seems to me like the prices for everybody else are going to jump dramatically. Does that make sense? Have you run any reports to say if one-third of your 65% of revenue moves to private wells, which may likely happen, how do the rates look at that point?
Right. And so these rates can be adjusted. We have the ability to adjust the rates at any point in time with a given reason. We want to see what happens. You know, there obviously is a supply and demand issue and a pricing affecting demand, which obviously affects the supply. We haven't projected that. We want to see what happens. I think there is, when I first got on the board here, we give the statistics, the pumping statistics for each month. And if we pump more than the last month, everybody felt good because that made more money for the district.
Sure.
You know, so it's a balancing act of trying not to use too much of Kootenai's water, but obviously make sure that we can adjust the rates to keep funding the operation. So it's a good question. I have thought about that. I don't have an answer for it. We're going to see what happens. But obviously when you price things, you modify social behavior. It's just human nature. So we'll see. I think it's going to take a year or two to shake out to see whether people go to these wells or if they, it's just the cost of doing business to have a green lawn in Kootenai in the summer. We'll see. Yes, sir.
My name is Rick Pisano, Main Street, Kootenai. I had two comments. In terms of the current evolving rate structure, has there been consideration of hardship exemptions, and how would that operate in the town? And the second, has there been consideration of commercial exemptions? We have two easily identifiable commercial operations in the village that by their nature use a lot of water, but they also provide a tremendous service to the village and the community. And I know that as a homeowner, yeah, my rates went up, but not enough that it's going to radically change my lifestyle. But these commercial operations are looking at a very substantial increase in their billing. And because of the service they provide to the community, I was wondering if you've given consideration to that.
Yeah. And I'm, as usual, I'm blanking on the first comment. It was important.
Hardship.
Hardship. That was my, that's my hobby horse. So you'll see in some of the literature over there that one of the things we want to consider for people with demonstrated need is a hardship calculation. We don't want to be in the business of examining people's tax returns to determine whether they can afford an increase in the rate. Remember, of course, the offset here, okay? And that applies to these commercial users as well, in my opinion. The water bill went up. Will they see a corresponding decrease in their district tax? That remains to be seen, okay? But it stands to reason. In terms of the hardship exemption, we think that the best way to handle it is for those who can demonstrate need, we can apply some of the tools that the town of Barnstable uses. So, for instance, I know there's a senior citizen circuit breaker for property taxes, and if it's possible for the town, I think it's more likely that the household would be able to show us that they are enrolled in one of these hardship programs through the town of Barnstable. Maybe it's the school lunch program for families. Maybe it's the senior citizen circuit breaker. But there are various standards where we don't have to make those decisions. Other people in town hall have already made them for people, and we can apply those perhaps in a way that makes sense. The commissioners have some thoughts on these?
Yeah, we had this discussion a little while back. I'd like to speak to the commercial exemption or the commercial aspect here, because I agree with you completely, and we had a little bit of this discussion. Part of the new rate structure, I think, is designed to try to encourage water conservation. People want to put a lot of, again, I'm going to use the word drinking water, on their lawns. In my view, they should pay more money than that than they should use for drinking water to drink or make food. However, you're absolutely right. The two commercial establishments in town that I'm thinking of, and they're probably the same ones, are not watering lawns. They're making food. And so I would argue that that's a very different use of water, and it should be a different rate structure. That's my opinion. And I already mentioned it at a previous water commissioners meeting. I think when we reconsider rates again, that's one thing that I'd like to discuss again, because I think there's some real merit to that.
Yeah, we've been speaking to that issue since the change in the rates came out in both those issues, and definitely doing some more work on hardship as well as commercial. Hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Penny LaVerde in School Street. You indicated that in the future we may have significant price increases for the work. I would hope that you would phase this in gradually rather than this big increase that everyone has gotten. It would be too much of a PR problem for you if you don't phase it in. Thank you.
So the significant increase was related to this potential treatment plant, which we discussed over the past couple months, and we don't see the immediate need for it. But time will tell. It's not required right now. It's recommended by our consultants. But we feel that the cost is much greater than the benefit that would be derived from it at this point to remove some manganese. It's not a health issue.
And we may be able to get to at least address the manganese problem or part of it by seeing the reduction in the pumping level and the effects on the wetlands.
We'll always have to rely somewhat on the district tax for major capital projects. Fortunately, most of our major capital projects are behind us, at least for a while. We have two new water tanks. We have a new security system, which is a big capital expense over the past couple of years. And now it's mostly things like trucks and equipment and radios.
Right. Chemical feed systems.
Chemical feed systems.
Yeah. And now it's just maintenance at this point. Of what
right.
We have.
So we're not looking, we don't have a five-year capital plan per se, but I was very pleased to join the commission after the two new water tanks were built. You can see that we do derive a little bit of revenue from the the cell tower revenues, those are a monthly revenues from, is it four carriers?
Three
carriers. So that's the big monopole that you see at 414 Main Street. That's bringing in monthly revenue to the district and the water department. Other comments or questions? You've been a very patient audience. This is former Commissioner Campbell, Don Campbell.
Hi, Don Campbell, former commissioner. I was involved with the entire process for the last 3 to 4 years as far as the rate increase. We had stayed at a low rate for a long time, and we just kind of went along. We didn't bother changing it, knowing everyone was happy with it. And then we started getting some inquiries from the Prudential Committee and from the DEP. And we started to look at the need to adjust the rates to bring it up to what, you know, serving ourselves. We had the study. The tax base amount that they show up there is in place to cover the cost of fire protection. They kind of figured out how much it would cost if everyone should pay for fire protection, because not everyone in the district has district water. Some people have their own wells. So to make it even and equal, we went through and had that percentage be part of the taxes. The increase in the rates we looked at as being offset by a decrease in taxes. But that requires the fact that we all need to pay attention to what goes on in this district. We need to follow the committees and see what they're looking at. Ask them questions at the meetings in the late winter before the district meeting in May, to see what they're looking forward to as far as their budgets. Challenge them, make sure they know this is the right thing to do. Because one of the fears I had was, if you see the tax rate go down, well, people are gonna say, we can spend some more money now. Because look, the tax rate's down. And then you're gonna end up paying more money in the overall picture. As far as the usage affecting the water cost, and how much money we have coming in. When they did the survey, the people that did it said, usually there's a knee-jerk reaction that first year, and people conserve, and you see the water go down, water levels, usage go down, which affects the money coming in. But typically, people get used to it and say, well, it's not that awful bad when you figure out what the taxes are, that they keep on going back to what it used to be, and it kind of levels out. As it was, when we arrived at the rate, it was a little bit more than what our cost was. So it's a little bit of a cushion there. Not much. It kind of grows a little bit as time goes on. It does. So that was one question we had here. As far as the people that have a financial need, most of those are the elderly. They don't use that much water. It's not really going to affect them at all. So that is, we talked about that, and if there is an issue where some people have a real financial need, there are guidelines that the town has where the people have to meet a certain level threshold before they apply for certain things and get benefits. The businesses have enjoyed getting the water really cheap for a long time, and I never heard them complain about the cheap water. Now, let me be blunt about it, but they benefited by cheap water. They will also benefit by the taxes going down. I know when I go to a restaurant, my breakfast costs about $5 more than it did a year ago, it seems like. I still pay for it. They're still making their money. We did one thing, trying to look forward to costs in the future for buildings or anything, capital gains, capital expenditures. We put a meter rental fee of a total of $20 a year at each meter without the district, $10 twice a year, to go into stabilization fund to be used for capital expenditures in the future as they come up to help offset the initial hit of some of these expensive items. So we can try to keep balance, balance out the bills for a longer period of time. if we conserve, instead of having the sprinkler going when it's raining out, if we put some, people put some wells in, if we use a little bit less water, it should be okay as the time goes forward. But we need to be more responsive to the needs of the people, the water issues as they come forward in the future. Whenever we get ordered by the state to do something, it always comes with a couple extra zeros behind it. They mandate we do things, and we just got to find a way to pay for it. So it's it was a process. As far as doing it all at once, I believe if you did it once, there's going to be a shock, you're going to feel the pain, and then when the year has gone by and we can realize a relief in taxes, it'll all balance out. If we did it a little bit each year, it'd be a little bit more pain each year. It's like picking a scab for 3 or 4 years in a row. And then the taxes wouldn't really change that much. You wouldn't see a big difference. So that's why we went with the one-time hit. And we're all in this together. I get my water bill, pay the bill. I don't have a sprinkler system, though. In that picture with all the nitrogen, it made it look like dandelions on the lawn, so, which is my yard. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Well, I won't repeat everything he said, but I certainly resonate to it. Thank you. I, too, am a former water commissioner long, long time ago in the 1980s, and we certainly had our challenges then. We had to find a new well, and it was very, very difficult. It took a lot of our energy. So I understand what goes into making a water department work. And as time has gone by, it has gotten much, much more complicated, much more regulation, much more scrutiny from various departments in the state and elsewhere. And so it's a very different kind of service that these people are doing than what we had. We worked our guts out, but they are doing even more, I can tell. So I think that Don really hit it on the head, but that we had to bite this bullet. It went on very long before we really woke up and said, we have to do something and be realistic in this world. What do we pay for in our lives that aren't nearly as important as the water? So when you look at it in a larger context, I think we're very fortunate, and I applaud what you people do. It's hard work. So I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Mimi. Any other comments? We have some other business, but I want to make sure everybody had a chance to speak who would like to.
I'd just like to say one more thing. Just so everybody knows also, these will have to be reviewed in 5 years because it's against the law for us to make money. We're not in the business of making money, and it is against the law to do it. So we can only bring in as much as we spend. So this has to be looked at every so many years so that we do not make a profit. We are a nonprofit. It goes only back into the water department. It's illegal to put it anywhere else.
And I encourage everybody to come to the district meeting in May and vote on the budget and the tax rate. Well, the tax rate will be determined by the budget, but you vote on the budget. And it's important that your voices be heard. Jim?
I would just point out to people that there was a meeting a week before the vote on the budget at which the Prudential Committee and the various constituent elements walk through the budget and can take questions from people. So don't just show up to vote. Show up at that meeting before, because that's your best opportunity to get real insight into what's going on.
I've got one more thing about taxes. The reason the tax bills right now don't reflect any change, because the treasurer has to see what the income is from the change in the water rates to establish a real income, not just what might be projected. Then the new taxes will be reflected by those numbers. So it has to be in place for a year to get the full benefit on the taxes from that.
So the bill that goes out in March will be the $50 bill. bill. It's just the flat fee for the base use of the water and the meter fee. And then the last bill for the fiscal year will go out in first week of July, which will reflect the full previous 12 months of water use. Six months, but by that time you'll be able to calculate your annual water usage. If you're not sure what it was last year, you can contact Jen in the office. She can look it up on the records, and she can tell you exactly how many gallons you used last year and the year before and the year before that. So you can start to make some calculations if you're using the same amount of water this year, what the cost might be by the end of June. Okay? So thank you. We're going to continue on with our business. You're welcome to stay. We'll be talking about the security system update and some of the permit and policies. Yeah. Fran, is there a way to turn this off? This way? Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you had it. You're the guy. There we go.
Review that again afterwards.
So let's go back to the minutes. The commissioners had a chance to read those yet? You're still working on them, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'll ask Chris to give his report.
Yeah, sign that warrant for me too, so I have it. I have. I'm going to kind of jump around here, but I'll go right in with. I'll get. All right, it's my report, and once I get to a certain point, I'll break off for a second. This is January's pumpage in 2019 was 7,135,000, and January of 2020 it was 6,524,000 for a decrease of 611,000. I'm not going to say it's because of the bills, but I did have the stations calibrated. Each one of the stations were under reading a little bit by anywhere from 5 to 2%. So I'm not sure why what's happening over the year, but they were fine a year ago. So this is how we kind of find out sometimes. We get it done once a year, and I did look back, and that 652. Excuse me, 6,524,000 is the lowest I could find that we've actually pumped in January. So I don't think it's completely accurate, we didn't pump a ton of water. We were down stations, pumping one station by itself, keeping the tanks up pretty high. We got a lot of storage there now, so the tanks don't come on as much as they used to. The stations don't come on as much. We did have one new service go in. We had two replacement services throughout the month, and we ended up having four repairs, three curb stops, and that hydrant finally got looked at. Wasn't really a repair as much as a straighten out and just make sure there was no damage to it so that it would hurt any firefighters or anybody down on Old Shore there. I will tell you, I'm going to hold off here. Russ Kleekamp's here from GHD, just to give us a little bit on the security update for you. But I'll just go through quickly here a couple other things. We just finished today. Station 4 was redeveloped and cleaned. We just got everything back together. We actually got it back together Monday, but there was a complication. They had to come back and reset it today. We pumped it off, took a sample today.
They haven't done the flow test on it. I expect that'll be tomorrow. But we will find out if it's a clean sample and everything's fine, then we can put it back online. And at that point, they're supposed to start next week on the 2nd. Is that next week or the following week? March 2nd, they're supposed to start with Station 2, turning it over to the SCADA system and stuff. So I've kind of held them off on pulling Station 5 and checking. We have a wobble we had signed also with them to pull Station 5 until we get the SCADA system over. It looks like that should be done by the end of March at least, and I can get them in towards that time and have them come in and pull 5 and figure out the problem and still have enough time, hopefully, there that we won't be into full pumping again by April. The tank over here on West Street is covered with mold, mildew, all that we've been talking about. I finally have signed a contract with a company to have it cleaned, along with I got the inside of another tank, the 500,000 one over on Newtown, to clean the inside out to make sure there's nothing in there that's due for a cleaning on the inside. That one's for the outside. They threw in a couple free sanitary surveys that we put on file for the state with that. So the money will be coming out of the tank maintenance fund, so it won't, for West Street at least. It's quite expensive. I think it was $16,900. To have that done.
That's what we had heard previously.
Yeah. And the last thing I have here before I'll ask, I'd like to table something until we talk a little later.
Mm-hmm.
But also the tank site over on Main Street, I don't know if you've noticed, AT&T finally moved their equipment out of there. I believe it was over the weekend they finally got the gas tank out of there, the propane tank, got it emptied, pulled it out of there. I see that the cow is on its side there, ready to be pulled out, but they still have the big blocks that they have. They're going to have to get a crane in to get them out of there. I have one of the contractors we had called, actually Russ called for me and put through because he was in charge of some of the stuff that helped out with that. And he's put a phone call in to see if some of the equipment got left there from one of the previous tenants. One tenant did all right, just left a little bit of a cement pad there. Next one came in, moved, there's a couple cabinets, there's a structure with kind of a roof up there, and they're not seen at all. They're over on the other side. So we did talk to the person that we were dealing with back when this all came down. We were going to take it down, and he said that he hasn't been on our project for almost 7-8 months now. It's somebody else sent an email to that person and gave us their name and said that he would talk to them about having the same company who's taking the stuff for AT&T out, see if they can get them to do it at the same time. So we're waiting on that also. We'll make another follow-up on that eventually.
There weren't any performance bonds or anything posted that would ensure the work?
I don't believe that there's anything still held for sure. Right. Have you go up there? Yeah, that's basically what I have now, and he's just going to give you a quick update on the security system that's going on.
Mark Robinson.
Chris.
Russ. Nice to see you. Thank you. Hi,
good evening. My name is Russ Kleekamp. I'm an engineer with GHD.
Is that on?
I think it's on.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I just wanted to give a brief update on the SCADA and the security project, and then also to discuss a potential amendment we'd like to request coming up for the project. So just to give a background, what I thought I'd do is put this first sheet you're looking at as a budget summary of where we stand. And the project, its origin was probably over a decade ago with Open Cape running fiber optic, then a whole series of events happened. Then we decided to utilize the fiber optic to implement a surveillance and a SCADA system. It would reduce the department's dependency on the radios, which were a little less reliable, and just kind of bring things up to that, to the modern era. So it's very, I don't want to say tricky, but a challenging project, because there's a number of contractors that are involved in this. It's not just GHD, but there's a whole host of people that have to come together to make this happen. So what you're looking at in front of you, the budget summary, is you can see where we have the contractors on the left-hand side. These are the folks that were included in the implementation of this project. You have GHD, who is the design engineer, and the SCADA programmer. Valley Communications, they provided all the cameras for the security system. Command is the local SCADA integrator. They're doing the physical installation of all the SCADA hardware. The electrician, we use Kituit. Mr. Nelson has worked for Kituit for quite some time, I understand, so we used him to do all the electrical work. This next line item, that was the contingencies that we had set aside. And then underneath that is some work from Cape Cod Networks, who had to do some work for Open Cape to set up the networks for the department. Then also Comtract, who is the utility installer for all the fiber optic. We had the fiber optic run to all the wells, to all the tank sites, back to the main office. So there's a whole network of fiber optic that's in the ground now that can be utilized. The first column, the numbers that you see, that was back in 2017. GHD did an assessment or a report on the SCADA system, where we came up with some estimates for the budgets for each of these contractors. So this was the original estimates that we had came up with as part of that report. GHD was $88,114, $800 for Valley Communications, $109, so on and so forth for the rest of the items. We did include a fairly large contingency in there, because with this many parties and there was a lot of unknowns. Again, it's a highly technical project. We didn't have a complete record of the programming for the existing stations, so we were kind of going with what we could visually see out there. But we did expect to have some unknowns happen, so we did set aside a decent amount for contingencies. So in that SCADA report, we generated a number that's $465,000. It was actually rounded up to $470,000, and I believe that's what the appropriation was for in the 2017 or 2018 district meeting when this when the budget was appropriated. The next column that you see is the bids and the quotes. So these are where the actual numbers came in. So GHD, you can see, is at 104 above the 88,000. So what happened there is our base contract was for 88,000, and then we had one amendment so far, which was to purchase a computer and the SCADA software. We recommended to the water department that GHD purchase that, because we buy so much of the SCADA, we actually got a 15% discount from the software. The software alone was about $12,000. So it just made more sense for us to buy the software and run it through as an amendment. Valley Communications, their quote came in slightly lower at 113. Command was slightly higher at 115. And Mr. Nelson didn't provide a quote. We just worked with him for the implementation of the electrical work that needed to be done. So the cost to date, that next column, that's what each of these contractors, that's what we've spent to date. So GHD is at about $100,000. You can see we're very close to reaching our overall budget of $104,000. Valley Communications is at 115,855, but they are complete with their portion of the work. They did, again, all the security and the cameras. They did have one change order for, I believe, almost $2,000, and that was to install an additional camera beyond their quote. Command's at $75,000 and change. Mr. Nelson's at $23,000. He has a little bit of work left, and then the other two down at the bottom, the Cape Cod Networks and Comtract, are completed with their work. So we see the last column is the budget remaining for each of the individual contracts. If we were to look at today's billings, what's left, you can add up for each one of the contractors. We have about $46,000 that's remaining to be billed on the project. So I wanted to take a look at just, you know, based on our overall budget of $470,000, how do these numbers line up, and how are we looking at from a budget standpoint? So the expected cost of completion is basically the cost to date plus the remaining budget. That brings us to $369,000. So we're still, we have about $96,000 remaining with those contingencies. We haven't dipped into them as much as we thought we would need to. So we're still looking from an overall standpoint of the $470,000. We're still on budget, and I don't expect that budget to be exceeded by any events. I've already talked with Chris. There's a couple other things he wants to look at as far as perhaps getting laptops and not laptops, but tablets to integrate the GIS system to get things up to speed. So we're hoping that we can do that. So why I'm here tonight is I'd like to discuss, GHD would like to submit an amendment. We've run into a few issues with the project. We are very conscious that this is a lump sum contract and we are obligated to a scope of work for a price that we submitted to you. I was very much hoping to have that amendment completed today so I could submit it to the commissioners. They could take a month to review it, and then at the next meeting, I've asked our leader of the integration department, a gentleman by the name of Dustin Sedlak, who's very fluent with all the SCADA and all the terminologies. He's probably the best person to answer questions. So at next month's meeting, I plan to have Dustin here to answer questions. Unfortunately, I just haven't had time, this being school vacation week, a couple of key people on the project team. They weren't in the office, so I have not had time to put that amendment together. I hope to have it completed in a week or two, and in that case, I'll email it to Chris, and if he can distribute it to the commissioners can get a chance to take a look at it. And then again, if there's questions at the next meeting, Dustin will be down, and he can answer any of the technical questions. A very brief summary in layman's terms, basically what one of the issues was is that we were not able to acquire the existing programming, I don't know if plans are the right word, but the programs that run the SCADA system now from Kituit's former integrator, AD Instruments. So once we got into the station, we started with well number 3. What we had assumed was a much simpler setup than what was there in actuality. So we had to rewrite a lot of the programming, a lot of the code. It took a lot longer to get Station 3 up and running than originally anticipated. Now that we have that learning curve out of the way, we expect that the future stations to go much quicker. I did include what else is in this package. On the last page is an email from Dustin to myself, which kind of explains. I had asked him back in November when Station 3 took much longer than anticipated. I said, Dustin, what's going on here? How come this took so long? Obviously, we're going to run out of budget if things keep going like this. At that time in November, I believe GHD had like $20,000 or $30,000 left in our engineering budget. So I said, at this time, you know, I'd really like to see if we can get the guys, can we streamline this? Can we still get the project done under budget at that time? By the time we got through the next station, it was becoming apparent that we were not going to be able to get the project done for our allocated amount of $104,000. So that's where the amendment's coming from. I'll make sure that it's very clear how it explains how it differentiates from the scope of services that we originally submitted, because again, we've been working with Kituit for over 20 years now. I want to make sure that that stays in good standing. So if I haven't put everybody to sleep so far, are there any questions for me? Well, you got me here.
So what is your expected cost overrun then?
We're still working through the numbers. I have a ballpark idea, but I'm kind of holding off on saying it until we get the final hours.
Do we have to take any action tonight?
No, this is strictly information.
Heads up.
Yep.
Okay. Chris?
I didn't realize, and I'll call you on verification.
Sure.
Some of these figures here, I don't think we actually have to get into adding or anything like that right now, but I just think that contingency's there. I just need an explanation of it a little more. I didn't see it earlier. I know you did send this to me this afternoon, and it's just something I'd like to revisit.
Sure.
So I'll talk to you tomorrow if
sure.
you can. Give me a call. And then once we get everything together, he gets me something, I'll get it right out to you guys to review. If you want to bang questions back at me, fine. If you want to just put something together, we'll talk to Dustin at the next meeting and everything.
Sure.
Fine, too.
Okay. Seems like a 30% contingency seems kind of high to me, but...
Given the nature of this type of work, it's we just, with our experience going back to other treatment plants, you always uncover things that you didn't expect when it gets into SCADA and programming computers. It's a far cry from traditional engineering if you're putting a pipe in the ground or a distribution tank, which is relatively straightforward. The more I get involved with it, the more I understand the complexities.
Yeah. I guess the contingencies on one page say 77,000, so, and then it said 121
yep.
on the other.
And I apologize.
Just need verification on that. Yeah.
So the second page that's in this package, this was the original cost estimate that was in the 2017 SCADA report, and it breaks out all the stations for the different SCADA and surveillance upgrades. On the bottom, there's a few line items, the electrical contractor services, so we had estimated 32,000. It's looking like it's going to be lower than that. Then we have this line item here, this mobilizations, bonds and insurance, general conditions. The group that put this together, this cost estimate together, is out of our New York office, and they're used to working on extremely large treatment facilities, water distribution facilities, just giant facilities. lot of those bigger projects have a separate line item. For example, the contractor's fees for mobilization, demobilization. They're working with very large electrical outfits, things like that. Obviously, with a one-man show like Mr. Nelson, he's not going to have a mobilization fee. He's just going to drive there and show up and do the work. So this budget here, this $44,000, that was budgeted. That can get rolled into the contingency because there's not going to be a separate contractor that's pulling that money. So, Chris, where I got the contingency from was that $44,000 plus the $77,000.
I'll take one or two comments. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this tonight if we're not going to make decisions. It's just sort of a heads up. Tom?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Scott? Okay. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you.
Appreciate your
help.
Thank
you, Russ.
back to you, Chris.
I do have just one thing here. It's about salaries. I don't know if you want to talk about it now or when you get two salaries.
Well, what's the commissioner's pleasure? I don't like meetings to go beyond 7:15. We got about 20 minutes. Do we want to get into some of these thornier things that take more time, or do we want to set a special meeting?
What else do we have to cover?
Well, a lot of the old business we could always defer, of course, but we do have to get into the budget and evaluation this within the next 30 days, so before our next meeting.
So you're suggesting another meeting to discuss the salary-related issues?
In the budget.
Yeah. In the budget, yeah.
Yeah. I think
that probably makes sense.
I think we should. I mean, I'd rather call the meeting early tonight and have a special meeting. What would you like to do?
Those two items, the new business, the 2021 preliminary budget and the evaluations and salaries.
Yeah, and if we have time, we can do a little old business, too. So maybe that would be in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, well, this is kind of time-sensitive, the one that I have here. It's an issue with one of the employees has reached step over of that mark.
Right.
So he actually did it, I believe, a month ago.
You told me about this.
Yes. So if we do go over on there, I'm going to talk to you guys about it and everything else. It would have to be retro. If you want to wait and talk about it in 2 weeks, something like that, or you guys can make the decision from there.
Well, I understand what the issue is. It won't take that long to explain. Why don't you explain it?
All right. One of the employees has reached his five-year mark on our newly implemented last year levels. The grade of pay is gone to from a level 3 to a level 4, which he's required. He's been here for 5 years. He's completed all current licensing requirements. He has completed training within any areas determined by myself or you guys, and his vital operations to the Cotuit Water Run, such as operations maintenance and remote control systems, public relations, etc. Must have the training in the area of health and safety and able to function as a safety officer. He does have his OSHA 8, does have his CPR training, first aid, so he can go to that point. It was my fault here. I didn't think of him doing it through the year, and I didn't put it in the budget as to he was going to flip on his anniversary date. So you guys have the right to give raises when you want. It's right in the bylaws that you can. I believe, or it's up to you if you want to talk to the Prudential Committee about it, figure it out there, figure out where the money can come from after. We might have it in overtime. I doubt it.
So how many months are we talking about before the next fiscal year starts?
The anniversary date would be January 8th. He became.
So it's basically the winter spring.
Correct.
Pay period.
Yes.
That are affected.
Correct. From now till January. I mean, down now to July 1st when we.
You're looking like 6 months.
Yes. So looking almost like 6 months worth of salary.
Eligible for the step up.
And his increase would be $3,000 for the year, so we'd have to, he would go from $52,000 to $55,000. We'd have to figure it out at $55,000 now.
I would move that we approve this and give the person the due raise.
I would second that.
And where do you find the money, Chris?
What's that?
That was my question, where do you find the money? Because the money
So the line item for overtime and on-call, or the line item for overtime, will be under budget this year because of the fantastic weather we've had this winter. We haven't had a lot of overtime for snow plowing or anything. It can easily absorb the $1,500 roughly difference in the salary line item.
Fran Parks, Prudential. Can I just suggest you talk to the treasurer about this?
Yeah, we can work it out with them.
Well, how about a motion to approve pending a discussion with the treasurer to make sure that we can actually cut the checks? But it seems like, based upon Jen's comment there, that the money's going to be there. And again, I think if it's due, we should make good on it.
Correct. And I think. Same way that when we hired somebody new in the past years that might have went over, I'm not sure if it did or not. I'll have to ask the treasurer at the time if it salaries actually went over that year. I'll have to look back and everything.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the request pending a discussion with the treasurer, but I guess this also might lead to an amendment to the employee manual of timing of steps.
Correct. Yeah, I was thinking of it as a July to July thing in the beginning, but the way it's written is once you reach 5 years, you're entitled to it.
Okay.
So that was my misinterpretation of the new, and I take full responsibility for it. So
it's really more not changing the policies. It's. When we do the budgeting, try to project who's in line to get extra certification.
Yeah, right now, 3 out of 5 of us are at our capacity as we can get onto these levels, I would say. We still have 2 employees that can keep going up to one more level after this, and we're just, Jen and I, when we do the budget, are going to have to sit down and say, hey, let's take their anniversary date into effect. So it's okay. Not going to take a change right. In anything like that. It's just going to have to be us actually anticipating it ahead of time, as we will have to do with the other employee but it will be like July 2nd that he comes in, to that effect.
Okay, the motion's been moved and seconded to approve the request as outlined by the superintendent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, so we're going to set the meeting date. I would suggest 2 weeks from today, but also Commissioner Horsley has some thoughts on meeting dates.
Ah, thank you. Ooh. Yes, I would like to, new kid on the block, like to at least have a discussion about a date other than the third Wednesday of each month, and I'm open to could be the third Tuesday or it could be the second Wednesday. I understand, Chris, that there may be some, and Jen, there may be some timing issues with some of your information, so we should take that into account. But just wondering if we could entertain.
We don't. The only issues would be is this place. I believe right now Mark has the calendar in his packet of what is available this month, and it's usually a reoccurring. We used to advertise the third Thursday of the month, I think it was years ago. Then we changed to Wednesdays because it used to be at 7 o'clock at night, then they brought it to 5 o'clock at night, and now it's 5:45 at night. So it's really what you guys want to do and if it's available to get the hall.
Well, my preference would be a Tuesday on that same third week or a Wednesday on the second week would be the two best things for me.
Yes. Sometimes it's a
void. On Wednesday. I have another meeting on the second.
Okay, so that won't work.
Okay.
Looks like the fourth Wednesday is open.
The what? Fourth Wednesdays?
Is that true?
The last Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday of each month. That's fine.
Yes.
That's the third Tuesday.
5:30. Kachewitt must be Civic Association. Does the third Tuesday? Yeah. It's somebody's here at 5:30. On Mondays, the Boy Scouts have it every night at 5 o'clock.
I only see the fourth Wednesday as being open.
Right now, there's Fridays available.
That's okay. How about that?
And the third and fourth Wednesday.
How about the fourth Wednesday?
I don't have a... The only problem with that, would that be the Prudential Committee's meeting?
No, we meet on Mondays. Just to let you know, the Boy Scouts are just downstairs most of the time. They don't use this room.
Okay.
Are they loud?
Are
they loud Boy Scouts?
Well,
I'm guessing
they are. We have heard them running around before down below or something to that. And we actually had to have a meeting one year downstairs because they had to use upstairs. So that's not handicapped as festival downstairs anymore. So
actually, the last week of the month is usually my lightest in terms of meetings, so I would prefer the last week.
As long as there is, and I know it used to say years ago the Prudential Committee meant the Monday following the last, the
we meet we meet the fourth Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. You just might want to check with Chris.
Yep.
Because, the use of the hall is scheduled very far ahead. You know, by outside groups. So,
yeah, March looks, well, it's kind of funny because March looks like the 2nd and the 4th are available. So I don't know if that's an ongoing thing. If we said, can we change it to the 2nd? Oh, you said you can't, right? Sorry.
I won't be here.
Okay.
Which one, the 2nd?
2nd.
Yeah.
Because you have another meeting? Is that the, that's a, okay, well, committed. So if we change it to the 4th, it would just be a week later. For us.
Let's try the fourth for a while. The fourth Wednesday at 5:45. The special meeting.
Okay.
Can we meet 2 weeks from tonight or not? Yeah. Well, we probably won't have a regular meeting that month anyway because of all the extra meetings.
Yes, the fourth of, it looks like the 4th of March is open.
Yeah. So let's use that for our special meeting to deal with budget.
Can everybody's,
policies.
I think there's a phone over here. Is this yours, Scott?
Yeah,
5:45, yes.
March 4th?
Yep.
And that's to do budget and evaluation?
Evaluation and if we can...
That's just the superintendent you're doing.
Yep.
I'll talk about everybody else. Their evaluations, they've been done.
Yep.
I can give you those. We can talk about the budget coming up, and you can do your evaluation of me then.
Is March
4th? You and I also Monday are going to be at the Prudential Committee meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be the 25th and the 4th for the special.
5:45.
Good try. 5:45, budget, and...
So then we're we shooting for the 25th for the first regular fourth Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
And we'll see if we can switch it over to that,
Great.
We haven't approved the minutes yet. We did approve the warrant. I'm good with the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I have a couple of suggested edits to the minutes that I can either read or provide them to Jen or whoever you want to do.
Why don't you read them quickly and then you give them to Jen.
Okay, so the second page, second full paragraph where it begins Commissioner Horsley. If I go down to the 6th line, it reads, would be to implement an irrigation policy, and I'm striking the words requiring the use of on-site irrigation wells. I don't think that was the intent to require. So at the end of it, I said I just put reducing waste. That's the intent. So I just struck the words requiring the use of on-site irrigation wells. And then I have another edit. In that same paragraph, 5 lines up from the bottom, or it says a sentence beginning previous line, it was noted that much of the language, and I just put in the proposed policy, just to clarify that. So there's only two.
Okay.
Edits. I can give those.
Yep. Anything else?
We'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as well. And Mr. Horsley?
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, it's unanimous. I'm going to sign page 3, and Jen can change page 2 based on what we discussed.
Sure.
Okay.
There was some mention in our last meeting, and it's captured in the minutes well, about the sodium trend graph.
Mm.
Did we make any progress?
Well, Jen and I are trying to find somebody to help us.
Okay.
Huh?
I
yeah. Find a young person. Right?
Is it just data entry? Is
the
it
graphing?
I know who could do it for us.
I might
Casey Danhauser. She's wicked smart.
That's a really good suggestion.
I know she could do it. It's about time she gave back to this village.
Do you want to send it to me? Jen, do you want to send it? Just send it to me. Email.
I just have one thing under the old business that I wanted to talk to Scott about. The Water Management Act that you got put onto your shoulders, I don't know who have you talked to over there, but your main connections over there are both gone.
And the only person I talked to was somebody at the engineering firm. Was it
Tater and Howard. Yeah, Megan.
Is that what you're talking about?
It might have been done? Megan, who's been hired by a town to be a town engineer.
Oh,
time.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's gone, and the gentleman who started it all for us is out on medical right now. So they've assigned two new guys. One of them is Ryan, who helped us a lot with the chemical feed system, and the other is a gentleman, John Gregory. Who's helped us before in the past and everything. So I will have him reach out to you. He has started reaching out to me a little more on that because the Boswell Land Trust stuff is basically off for mitigation. So he's checking in, and he's checking with Brian Celia from the town of Boswell on drainage that's been done for rerouting water and everything else.
Okay.
So we're trying to go a different route right now.
Okay, and maybe if you would provide me their contact names by email, that'd be good. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. As soon as I get something from him, I'll have him start communicating back and forth a little bit.
Yeah,
just to let you know that she's not there right now.
Just briefly, my recollection where we're at on that was the one thing that was missing was the cold water fishery discussion, and they did send something on that, but it was pretty brief, and I'm thinking we might want to put a little more in there, and I'm also thinking we might be able to use, if we do make a move on this irrigation policy, that might be a very good thing to add to the report.
Correct.
It would, in fact, address the cold water fisheries.
They got contacted by the state saying they want to close everything up. They want to get it over with. So everybody's kind of rushing right now because they're trying to get things. This is believe me, you're
I'd be happy to talk to them.
You're probably in about the 15th year of it right now. I swear, they keep going 5 years down the line.
Right,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.